Moncrief on News Talk.
Last week, there was a new set of very special graduates in Cork, autism assistance dogs. To tell us exactly what they do, we're joined by David McCarthy, Head of Fundraising and Communications for Autism Assistant Dogs Ireland. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having us on.
So, tell us about the dogs and what kind of training they receive.
Sure. So, like you said last week, we had a very special set of pups who were sponsored by our first responders from the Army, the Navy, the Guards and so on. So people might have seen those pics. There are 8-week-old puppies, and that was their first day on the job, essentially. So they were going into their foster homes for the next 12 months. They'll be trained between volunteer families and our own puppy training staff to learn kind of socialization skills and to get kind of prepared, I suppose, for their life as a service dog. That takes us about 12 months. And when they come into training then in Cork, that's when our instructors will start training them for their big job, where they're supporting a child, an autistic child in their family, or one of our schools.
Right, so they go to families and to schools. So if we go to the schools part of it, you know, what's their function within the school?
Yeah, so we started that program as a pilot a little over 14 months ago now, and we're running it for the last 12 months pretty intensively, where we're working with the school community, supporting neurodivergent students and non-neurodivergent students, so kids with behavioural problems and maybe other challenges like anxiety. So I'd say a lot of your listeners will be aware post-COVID anxiety is a big issue, particularly in primary schools. So our dogs will work with the staff body to make sure that the kids are kind of comfortable, regulated, getting regular breaks, and that's included then with a walk with the dog or a play session with the dog. And a lot of the time with the primary schools, they might meet the kids at the gate or at the door so that they're kind of regulated before they go into the school environment, and it's helping in a huge amount to kind of support those children to come back into the school into school daily. And then with our other kids, say in post-primary, a lot of kids with ADHD, for example, might find it very difficult to, they're perfectly good, intellectually sound, but might find it very difficult to sit for 45 minutes and do an exam paper. Whereas with our dogs, they can sit with them either head in their lap or head at their feet or just sit with them in the room. And we're finding that those kids are able to complete those kind of time periods in an exam setting. So they're getting to fulfill, I suppose, their academic ability and capability with the support of the dogs. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing massive changes within the behavioural side then as well, and the stress that causes in classrooms for teachers and other students. That kind of coming out of the situation means that the whole school culture within the school can shift on the back of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, you could see, I suppose, having a waggy tail when you're going into school rather than when you're coming home from school. You could see the difference that would make to people.
Exactly.
The dogs themselves, now obviously you did relate that there's a lot of training, but the temperament of the dogs themselves, is that an important factor? I imagine it is.
Hugely important. So we breed all our own dogs, and we breed Labradors and Retrievers, and then we might mix from time to time Labs and Retrievers to get the best quality. So if people are thinking about people who have Labs and Retrievers at home will probably be looking at the radio saying, I don't think they're that smart, but they're actually really intelligent dogs. And the lab in particular loves food, and we do what's called food-based positive reinforcement training. And they very quickly realize when they're set a task and they achieve it, they get a treat. When they're set a task and they don't achieve it, they don't get the treat. And they learn really quickly, oh, hold on, the last time you asked me to do that, no, and I didn't do it, I got no treat. So they really pick up the skills very quickly. And the Retrievers then are, just by their nature, are very willing dogs and want to kind of help and support. So we have that beauty of the two of those breeds, and then there's obviously the temperament piece. They're very robust, they're sound, emotionally sound, so they can take a lot of kind of pressure and stress, because they do hoover up a lot of that within our families and also within the school communities as well.
Yeah, and within the schools, like, is there some way of kind of keeping the dog okay, in the sense that I suppose a lot of kids will want to pet the dog or have a go off the dog kind of thing, so the dog could be overwhelmed by attention from children?
Absolutely. And we work with our schools for a good kind of 6 months in advance of a dog being placed to make sure, first of all, that it's a suitable and there is the need that they feel there is for the dog, and that the environment is going to work both for the handlers that we'll train within the staff body and the dog itself. But we, part of what we're doing in that period is working out exactly what the schedule will look like. So the dog isn't in for the full week. Mm. It comes in for 4 days out of five, and then it has 3 days off where it's just being a dog, regular kind of pet at home, enjoying itself. And during the time that it's at work, there are scheduled breaks for the dog built in, as well as there are, similar to what the kids are getting, you know, brain breaks or off to the sensory room or whatever it might be to kind of regulate and bring themselves down. We do the same with the dog to make sure that they're, like you say, they're not overwhelmed or it doesn't become too stressful for them.
Yeah.
Now, we'll have
Yeah, no, go on. Sorry, finish that sentence.
I was going to say, we'll have worked with them for about 2 years at this stage, so we'll know whether those dogs are suitable and capable at this point to take on that kind of work. If they've shown us any indication over the course of the 2 years that that stress might be an issue for them, they'll get pulled from the program anyway and retired out as a pet.
Yeah. Now, in the family setting, is the training the dog receives, is that slightly different?
It is. So if people think of what, or they might be aware of what our partnerships look like. So our partnership is quite a funny one in that you've got a dog with a jacket and it's got an attachment which is tethered to a child by a belt around the child's waist. And then the lead is being held by mom or dad. And the purpose for that is all our kids that we work with are autistic, but they're also what's called a flight risk. So they're a safety, big safety concern. And they do what people might know as bolting. They'll just run off, they'll get a notion, they'll see something, they won't say anything, and they'll go. And in a public setting, a busy setting, that can be difficult for parents to manage. But there's also safety concerns where they don't recognize danger in the same way that we do. So they'll see cars driving on the road, but they won't recognize them as dangerous. So what our dogs do, the two kind of key pieces of work that our dogs do is they, if the child goes to run off, they'll drop like an anchor, so they'll station the child in place. The child won't be able to run away because they're tethered to the dog. So that's the first piece that they do. And then from the kind of road crossings or junctions, the dog is waiting for the instruction from mom or dad to cross so they know it's safe to go. Until they hear that instruction, the dog is watching the child, and if they look to step out or step into traffic, the dog will actually nudge them back and keep them up on the footpath and keep them safe. And where that mightn't seem like a huge amount, but when you think about it from our family's perspective, if we have a single parent family where safety is a concern out in public, they tend not to leave the house a lot, so they become very isolated as a family unit. When we have two parent families, what we see is the family splitting. So one parent will go out with the kids to the GAA club or the cinema or even to the shops, whatever it might be, whilst the other parent has to stay at home. So those families kind of get split, and that causes a huge amount of tension and stress in both those households.
Yeah.
What our dogs do is it suddenly brings them out, the single parents in particular, out into the community, sometimes for the first time. It allows them opportunities like, I say, simple things like going to local clubs and organisations. And for some of them, it allows them to travel maybe abroad for the first time. So it really opens up whole new horizons for them and makes a massive difference, not just to the kids, but to the whole family.
And the dog is, for the child with autism, the dog is physically anchoring them, but do they to a degree emotionally anchor them as well?
Very much so. And we don't train for that. So we always make a point of saying this, we don't train that into the dog specifically. It's just a kind of an innate nature that the dog has to kind of see when either the children or the other siblings or parents in the family are a little bit upset. And like any of our pet dogs, they'll go to them and they'll comfort them. Where we see the impact of that in a real sense is a huge amount of the kids are non-verbal, and consistently across the board within 6 to 8 months of working with their dogs, we see a huge amount of our non-verbal kids using communication and using language in a way they never did before.
Mm.
We see kids who wouldn't have made eye contact or built relationships in the way we understand them. We see them building those relationships and making eye contact with teachers, with carers, with people outside the home, again, in a way that never happened before. And that's not something that we're aiming for or training for. It's just a beautiful fallout of what happens when the dog goes into their families.
So how many dogs have you trained? How many dogs are you producing every year?
So we're currently doing just under 30 dogs between both programs every year. So we have probably between 70 and 80 pups in the puppy program at any one point. We have about 100 families who are active. We have 8 schools, and we hope to kind of go from that 30 to 50 over the next 5 years. The demand for this service is so massive. We open our list once a year 9 a.m. on a morning, by 9:15 we could have anything up to 2,500 people trying to get on the list. Mm. We can then we whittle that down through various different processes to probably about 400 really kind of families that we believe would really benefit. And then we have to pick through a lottery 35 of those families every year to go on our list. So we really look to try and build relationships through donations and corporates and everything else to try and expand that. And that's our aim over the next 5 years, is to try. If we try to meet that demand, we never would. It's just so vast. So through the schools program, we can hit a much bigger community of people, both in the school environment and then as well at home, by kind of adding that benefit. So that's the kind of scale option for us. And then looking to get to about 50 families a year over the next 5 years is our challenge.
David, keep up the good work. And thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was David McCarthy, Head of Fundraising and Communications for Autism Assistance Dogs Ireland.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.